Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Once I played a Penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Was just recently deceased. A real cool mom, musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey, now come with me and fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are brave.
Welcome back to Breaking Broadway. Today, we have Brett Shuford. He has performed, produced, choreographed, and directed dozens of Broadway regional national tours, viral videos, television, film productions, from Wicked to The Wolf of Wall Street. He's also a certified life coach. And I am having him on because I got to sit in on a talk that he gave all about social media, and he gave really, really great advice. He showed me all the mistakes I have been making, and he does follow me on social media, so I hope I'm not in trouble because I have not incorporated all of his amazing tips yet, but maybe today I will take the next step and go even further. I thought it was super, super helpful, so I asked him to come on, and I'm so glad that he is here with all of us. Thank you so much for joining us, Brett.
Oh my gosh, it's totally my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Before we go into all of your amazing tips for social media and how you can use that to help your career, what is your journey to doing this?
Well, my journey, I've always been very curious and very kind of technical, tech savvy, I guess.
Did you start out as a performer? Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, I've been in multiple Broadway shows, as you know, like Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid. And
did you go to school for theater?
Yep, musical theater degree. Yeah, uh-huh. But even in college, like, you know, I think MySpace. You know, I was like all over MySpace, and then Friendster, and then you know, and then I found Facebook, and I've always been very social media, and always, you know, what's interesting about our industry is I feel like people were and still can be very hesitant about it because I guess it can come off a bit, for some people, they feel like it can be fake or it can not. And so many of people in theater who come from, or at least who started doing theater, we went to theater because it was like a place where we could be authentic and be real and like find our tribe. And then like you see this sort of presentational thing. So I was always very shy about it, even though I was like curious about it, 'cause I'm just a people person. I love people. I'm curious about people. That's just always been how I've operated. And so social media to me just was like an extension of that. But I can also see why so many people are hesitant about it as well. So anyway, I was always curious and just naturally kind of good at it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I just did it kind of while I was performing. And what YouTube, I started a YouTube channel and I Facebook. And then when Instagram came out, I was just like figuring out all the different nuances of all of these different tools, but never really thought of it as a business. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I can teach people how to do that. Until people started coming to me and just going, hey, how did you do that? Like, what are you doing there? I like the way you do that because it's different than what I see, you know? So then I started being less shy about it and started actually talking a little bit more about it. It's been interesting.
So is it like a second job for you, like performing, you still perform, and then this is like you're a certified life coach and help people with social media, or has that like taken over?
It's been an evolution. It was always a side hustle. It's like, mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, it was like I'm performing and working on Broadway was my full-time job. And then mm-hmm. I was being of service and helping my community and having this side job coaching, but then the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, I was so grateful I had this thing because I just went full throttle. I just dove all the way in. And ironically enough, all of us in our community were like, I don't know what to do. I don't have work. And I never built a social media following. And I'm like, hey, I'll help you. Then people were coming to me and asking for some support during that. And now I've actually kind of switched it. I'm doing coaching full time now and auditioning here and there.
Wow.
I even turned down going back to Wicked when the pandemic ended.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Because you know what? As performers, we're always out of control. You know, we never have power. And now you can be choosy about what you want to do.
Imagine that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into helping our young performers. What do you think is the most important thing young performers need to do to start out, like with their social media, if they're actors?
Well, I think number one, I mean, if you're young, the boundaries have to be really set for yourself at least until you're of age. But I think that, you know, you want to make sure you're setting really clear boundaries around your time on social media, the kind of content you're putting out there, but also communicating with your family and your parents. Because if you're going to choose to do this as a profession, you have to make a decision. Do I want to use social media as a tool for my business to grow relationships and become known? Or do I want it to be like a place where I keep in touch with my friends and my family? And because you can't really do both. You have to make a decision of what it's going to be, because your family is not necessarily going to always be your audience,
right?
But your audience isn't maybe going to care about the same things your family cares about. So you need to make a decision of what do you want it to be? Do you want it to be a tool, or do you want it to be just like a way to stay in touch with your friends? That's number one, I think. And then, of course, healthy boundaries around your time, around your attention, because the thing with social media, if you don't set boundaries, I mean, when we're following different accounts or we're spending time scrolling, we're giving all of these people and these accounts the one thing we can't get back, which is our attention, right? It's priceless. And your time and your attention, you know, you can make more money. You can make more, you know, friends, you can get new jobs, but you can't make more time. So
do you set timers for yourself?
I don't know that I set like specific timers. I think because I've done it for so long, I know my habits. So if I catch myself in that compare and despair mode, which we all can do, it's time to put it away, go for a walk, you know, watch a Mickey short, you know, something that makes
I will set timers for myself.
That's good. I think that's healthy.
Sometimes, and I'll do it. I have done it for my kids. I should do it again, but they won't.
I think it's important, at least until it becomes a habit, because you know, creating habits.
Do you think like, say somebody who's just out of college, should they? What's most important? Should they have a YouTube channel? Should they have a website? Do they need, you know, to be putting videos of themselves up on Instagram singing?
Well, I think most importantly, you know, choose one. I always say choose one to two platforms. Do not try to do it all. There's too many nuances that each of these tools have that, you know, to try to just like start a YouTube channel, like YouTube, there's so much to it in order to grow it. And if your expectations are, for instance, YouTube, most people think it's like a streaming channel. It's not. It's a search engine. And if you don't understand how to use keywords and SEO in order to optimize that, you're going to be disappointed because no one's going to see your videos. You know, Instagram, most people think Instagram is like a photo or video sharing platform, but it's a storytelling platform. So if you're just posting videos of you performing and you're not telling a story, you're going to be disappointed because people aren't going to engage. People aren't going to be, you know, reacting to the content you make. So understanding the nuances of a specific platform, it's just like understanding how to sing, right? Understanding how to, you know, the tools, like you don't you got to learn. That's why I always say pick one, maybe two to start, mm-hmm. and just get really good at it. And then if you're like getting good at it and you're growing, then you can start to add other things to your, you know, tools.
That's so interesting. I remember when you gave that talk, you were saying, find your brand, right? Like find what the people who follow you like about you. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that, well, I use this, you'll love this. I use this analogy of a theme park, right? We as a creative, we are a theme park. And every time we show up at an audition, we're basically immersing people in our park, right? And what's the experience that you're creating? Every time you create a piece of content, you're creating an experience that immerses people in your park, right? And so some people love Disney, some people love Magic Kingdom, or some people love Hollywood Studios and don't like Magic Kingdom, right? It's everyone's park mm-hmm. is different, and that's okay. So just understanding what is my experience, and then everything you do then becomes just an invitation. Like you're just inviting people into that land. And if you're not clear about the experience you're creating and you're not specific about the experience you're creating, then it's sort of like walking into Magic Kingdom and there's no castle. It's like no one knows where to go. Like there's nothing leading you down Main Street. You have to get really specific about what it is you want people to experience, because that encompasses everything that you do.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Do you think people starting out need a website?
I don't know that you need a website to start. I would just say a website is helpful. First thing anyone does at any audition, and you talk to any casting director or creative team, you walk in the room, they're going to Google you or they're going to Instagram you. It's the first thing they do.
Wow. No way.
Yes.
Wow.
It's the first thing I do when I'm like, oh, who is that? I look them up.
Right.
And if you're not creating, like you can create what people find. It's, you know, by using these tools, if you haven't, like for instance, I think at the least you should have an Instagram or a TikTok, because your Instagram can act as a website for you.
Uh-huh.
And there's searchability in there. You know, if you're using your name as your handle, if you're using your name, that's a searchable tool. So if I'm looking you up, one of the first things I say to people is like, if your handle is like Carrie29643, then you might want to rethink that, because no one's going to find, like, they're not going to find you.
I remember I was like, when you gave that talk, because I have three different handles for like Twitter, for Instagram. And you're like, no, you have that one for all.
It's true, but that's your brand, right? Like,
right.
People want to know who you are. So like having a profile photo that is the same one across all platforms, having a handle the same across all platforms, so that when people find you, they're like, oh, that's them. That's the person I was looking for. I know exactly who that is. I know what I'm getting. Because it can be very confusing. There's especially someone like you, Carrie, who I you know, I sort of see as like a Broadway celebrity who, you know, there's probably people making fake accounts of you and right. So I want to know that it's really you. And I'll do that if the photos and the names and everything matches across all platforms. And the sooner you can get that, the better, because, you know, it doesn't mean that if you can't find your name, right. So if I couldn't find Brett Shuford, I could put Brett Shuford actor, or Brett Shuford, the Brett Shuford, or whatever that is, but make sure it's the same across all platforms. So there's consistency, because consistency is key.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, oh, God. Like, oh, right. How am I going to change? How am I going to change my names? You talked about a lot of stuff I didn't understand a few minutes ago about like the SO something and knowing that stuff. Like, what is that?
Well, exactly, right? So SEO means search engine optimization, which is really like, how, like, if I Google you, the first thing that comes up is whatever first article comes up, it probably pops up because of its search engine optimization. So they've used keywords, which basically means like repeated words throughout the article or throughout the text. Or, you know, like if I look up Broadway, probably one of the first things I'll see is Broadway.com. Right?
Right.
Because Broadway is the keyword.
Yeah.
So understanding that search engine optimization, the way it happens is like, if I build a website, right? I can't just build a website, BrettShuford.com, if I've never had that space before and expect people to Google and see Brett Shuford as the first thing that shows up in the search engine. Mm-hmm. Because there's no optimization. It hasn't been clicked on enough. And Google basically will put the things at the top that have had the most clicks with those words.
Oh.
Yeah, it's weird. So that's why things like Instagram are great, because Instagram kind of already has its own searchability within it. So if you want to create an Instagram profile and you make it your name, if a casting director or a producer looks you up and they and your name is what's there, it's going to be easier for them to find you than, say, Google. That's also why, like, if you have a name and somebody else has your name and they're a doctor in Indiana, but they've been around for so long, if you search for your name, their article might pop up first. It's because they've been around longer.
Oh.
So you want to try to optimize your website, get people to click. That's why people blog. That's why people create content that people click on that drives traffic to your website.
Oh, hold on. Wait, what?
I know. It's crazy.
Wait. So you have you put a blog on your website. Where do you put the blog?
Yeah. On your website.
On your website. Put the blog on your website, and having the words in it will make people click on it more?
Well, what you want to do, so let's say, if I started a YouTube channel right now, let's just use YouTube as an example.
Okay.
If I decided, okay, I want to create YouTube content, I'm going to talk about my life. Steven and I have, you know, probably husbands, we're pregnant. Let's say I'm blogging about having a baby,
oh,
right?
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So let's say I'm creating video content about that, but I've never created video content before. What I could do is make the video, put it on my website, on my blog page, on my website.
Okay.
And then share the link to that page on Facebook, to my email list, have my friends click on the link. What will then happen is that every time somebody clicks, it drives them to my website.
I see. Because your friends aren't going to click on your website because they already know you. So if you put this link, like, oh, guess what? I'm having a baby. Aren't you interested in hearing about my baby? So then they'll click on your website.
And then the next thing you know, what will happen is that if I Google search my name, that website will show up further and further closer to the top of the list.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes.
Okay. That's a lot of work, though.
It can be a lot of work, or like it actually can be easier than you trying to build a following on YouTube, because you'll get more people clicking on your website than people finding you through searchability on YouTube. right? Because it's you're kind of leaving it up to Google to drive traffic to your YouTube channel, or you get to control your own website. So I mean, that's what search engine. This could go on and on and on, but that's what search engine optimization really is, and how to use it really for your best use for your business.
Okay. Wow, that's so interesting. Can I just ask you one more thing about it?
Of course. No.
So you can also, I've heard that you can also pay money to get your people, your SEO like up SEO. Or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Well,
you can also pay people to go into your website and optimize it for you. You know, there's people that are specialists in that.
I am not
a SEO specialist, but I will say, like, you know, I don't know that it's worth spending money. Honestly, you can hack it by doing what I just said, right? If you love to write, start a blog, right? If you love to do video, do YouTube video, but then put it on your website so that your website becomes the first thing people find when they search for you on Google.
Okay. All right. I love that. That's a good trick.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about people putting up, we kind of talked about this, but singing videos on Instagram and stuff, because I have heard from casting directors I interviewed on here that when they're looking for people, they will, say there's a new show and it's, you know, like Wicked or something, then they'll look up people who have hashtagged Wicked and look at their videos to find new talent.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the most important thing you can do is make sure the Instagram or whatever platform you choose, when I see it, let's say if I'm auditioning you in the room, and I pull up my phone and I pull up your Instagram account, I want that account to match exactly what's happening in the room. I want it to be a physical, you know, digital manifestation of the physical version of you. And I think that's the most important thing you can do. So if you're a singer, yeah, you should have singing content on there. It should not be the only thing you have on there, because you're also a human being.
Right.
So there's things about your life and the things that people, like, there's a lot of great singers in New York City who can sing Defying Gravity, but they're not you. So tell me what makes you, so that I have a stronger connection with you and a more willingness to spend more time with you, because that's really all we want, right? We want them to call us back, to be willing to spend more time so that they say, great, I can be in a rehearsal studio with this person for 4 to 6 weeks and have a great time. So you want that to be clear. What happens quite often, what I think I might've talked about this when we met, is I really think there's two things that most people fall into. Two camps. One is either they fall way too into what I call the credibility camp, which is like they will just post their singing videos or their self-tapes and think that that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other people who, what I call the vulnerability camp, which is like they'll just kind of vomit about their lives and the things that they believe in and all that stuff. And the perfect balance for anyone on social media is to have both. You want to have your credibility meet your vulnerability. You want to be able to share equally, not just what you do, but who you are.
I love that. Yeah. On the same lines, what other mistakes do you see people making? Kind of.
Yeah. And it goes back to like what I was saying too, storytelling, right? Most of us who are in theater are expert storytellers, no matter what level we're at. And most people don't tell stories. Like if you're going to post a singing video, make it a song that's going to move me, that's going to tell me about this moment or why you sing the song or who you're singing the song to. Don't just post something that's like, here's me belting a high D. Like that doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't give me a clue and it doesn't help me move. Cause that's ultimately, even if I'm a casting director, right? They're human beings too. They want to be moved. They want to feel things. They want to feel connected. That's all we want. So
if somebody's posting a singing video, like give me an example of what a story would be.
Yeah, sure. So let's say I would choose, let's see, what's one of my favorite songs that I sing is, I'll just stick with Defying Gravity. Let's say I love singing Defying Gravity and I know it's like a great song for me. I could tell a story about how today I was singing. I just felt like singing this song because I was so excited to finally become a dad. And the freedom that becoming a dad gives me reminds me of how limitless I can be.
Oh, right? Okay. So it's not like, look at me, I'm such a good singer.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And then now me as an audience member is watching that song through the lens.
Thinking, yes, I get it now.
It's a story.
Oh, wow. You guys, isn't that cool? Like to think that you're using your Instagram to tell stories. I never really, I mean, I think I do tell stories, but I don't consciously do it.
Right. You're just naturally good at it. And I will say this, your story game has been on point lately. You've really stepped up your Instagram stories.
Oh, why, thank you. I was a little nervous having you on because I haven't been doing as much as I should, I think, because I remembered, I took notes from your last talk. Well, on that note, you will have to tune in next week to hear more amazing tips from Brett on how to storytell through your social media. So if you care to find me, tune in next week.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.